I'm joined today by Merritt Lynn Hall. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's good to be on the station with you.
So we're currently in the last few days of 2020, and it's a little tough to even know where to begin with this year. I had this kind of fun, lighthearted interview planned, full of reflection and optimism. But then, of course, we wake up to the news of 4 deaths at the Jubilee Lodge long-term care home here in Prince George, and it just gets really difficult to see that silver lining all over again. So I'm going to continue with this interview and the questions that I had prepared, but I am cognizant, as I'm sure you are, of how difficult things are right now. So I'll just launch in and we'll see where the conversation goes.
Sure.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah, and yeah, that's great. And I would just comment, Kate, that you're absolutely right. It's been, you know, sort of a cloud over us, if you will, from the middle of March. And mm-hmm. you know, I've talked to a lot of people, and you know, you get up in the morning and you're ready for the day, but there's something that is just off.
It is.
It's that COVID cloud that hangs over all of us. So, and you're absolutely right about the news this morning from Jubilee Lodge. And, you know, certainly my condolences and thoughts, prayers go out to those families.
Yeah, pretty tough news this morning.
Yeah.
So how about we just start with the goings-on at City Hall? What were some of the defining
Sure.
moments this year?
Well, you know what's very interesting is that we had a banner and record-breaking year last year in 2019 for building permits. We were in excess of $225 million. And we started 2020 really hoping that we would beat that. Then the pandemic hit, and building really dropped off for about 3 months. Last night, we got an update on the building permits, and we're only $5 million off of last year's record-setting pace, which is remarkable. So what that means to me is that we have people working in the community in the construction business. We have laborers. We have tradespeople that are working, and that's good news for us when we see building permits hit that amount. So that's a real, I think, a silver lining in all of this. And yes, there are people who aren't working and people who are taking a financial hit because of the pandemic. So that's one of the things that stood out. And I think the other big one is just the resiliency of this community has really shown itself over this past number of months, how people deal with the pandemic, the help that people are giving others, particularly seniors, and you know, people that are volunteering to get meals to seniors, to call seniors, and just to keep in touch. I always knew it was a pretty remarkable city, but to see it come together even more so in a time of pandemic is pretty impressive to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. But having said all that, a lot of folks are pretty excited to turn that page on 2020 and start a new year on January 1st. Do you feel this New Year's is more impactful than others?
Yeah, and I'm one of those people. I can't wait to be able to turn that calendar to 2021, and I think New Year's is going to be, as you say, more impactful. I think everybody I talk to, we're absolutely waiting. And Christmas for me is one of my most favorite times of the year, and I think people are really looking forward to Christmas. They're looking forward to be able to connect with, you know, family and friends virtually. It's just that connection that we need, and we need to maintain that despite the fact we can't be face-to-face or in groups. It's how we connect virtually. And then, you know, a few days later, we're going to change the calendar, and that is an important thing. I think people have a lot of hope that 2021 is going to be a real turnaround year for them.
Yeah, I think there's some catharsis just in the simple act of switching to a new calendar year. At least I'm hoping so.
Yeah. I agree. And for me, it's a refreshing time, even more so this year. But in years past, you turn that calendar to a new year and it just rejuvenates you and feels like, oh, I've got a new start. And I'm not much for New Year's resolutions, but for me, that's the way I feel. It's just a new start of a new year, and you have a brighter light focused on that year.
And so looking towards next year, What are some of the priorities you see for City Hall? What would you like to see happen or not happen in 2021 for Prince George?
Well, not happen. I would hope we could stay away, or you know, from any crisis, and I go back to the 2017 wildfires and things like that, those natural disasters, obviously I hope we stay well away from any of that. I hope we can get through the pandemic and, you know, the vaccine. The immunizations are important to people. That started in Prince George, I think, today or tomorrow. So, you know, those are some of the things that I see happening. You know, just a quick overview. But for us operationally, we're going to continue with, you know, we've got a lot of infrastructure work and upgrades to do in our city. We've got still a tremendous amount of investment in building that's going to continue. But I think because of the pandemic, you change your way of doing business. You look further outside of the norm, and you're more creative. And that's what excites me about us operationally. I think we've become very creative in the way we do our work. And that's a good thing. We've got a great staff. Everybody has to be has had to be very flexible, and times change very quickly, so you change the way you do your work. And so it's been very impressive to me, and I think that's going to be one of the mainstays in 2021.
And how about for you personally? What were some of the most memorable moments of 2020? What are you going to look back on fondly?
I guess I'm going to look back, as I said earlier, about how resilient our community is through the pandemic. I'm impressed how people step to the plate. Those are the things that I'll remember. Despite the fact that that cloud was hanging over our head, I think we really showed what kind of community we are in times of a crisis, in times of need, and how we looked after people. I'm going to think about those frontline workers who have been at this now, whether they be nurses, firefighters, RCMP, ambulance, doctors, all of the frontline folks that keep the hospital and the seniors' homes operational. I'm going to think about them and continue to think about them as our frontline folks. They've done an unbelievable job. But I look around the community and I still see lots of things happening. I see people taking on new new recreational activities. I don't think I've ever seen so many people out and about and walking and enjoying what we have to offer with our trail system, Forest the World, and those kinds of things. I see people enjoying even more so. I see people enjoying, and I'm one of them, you know, connecting. My wife and I being able to connect with our daughters virtually and with our family members. We've reached out to family members in other cities and folks that we haven't talked to for quite some time. We're reconnecting either by phone or Zoom. And that's exciting stuff for us as a family. It's important for us to do that. And I see lots of people doing that.
So you mentioned connecting with your daughter and other family members that are a little bit more far flung. How else are you adapting your traditions for this time of year to accommodate the reality of COVID?
Yeah, so we have twin daughters, and they live here in town. And, you know, our Christmas tradition, it's interesting because I have a birthday, just had a birthday just before Christmas. My daughter's birthday is few days before Christmas, so the Christmas season is so important to us to be together, and we're not able to do that. So we celebrate my birthday virtually with my daughters and a bunch of friends that we have from all over the place, all over BC, a couple folks from outside of the country. We did that virtually on Zoom, and we celebrated our daughter's birthday the same way. It was a telephone call and a text early in the morning, and then a FaceTime. And our Christmas Day is going to be the same. So Christmas Eve, we always got together. That's not going to happen. It'll be virtual. Christmas morning, you open gifts. We'll do that virtually with them. Same with, you know, Christmas breakfast, Christmas dinner. We're no different than anybody else with our traditions. And it is going to be very different. But as I said to my wife, the fact of the matter is that they're still here in town. We're going to be able to see them virtually. And it's just comforting that they're in town. But it will be very different. But it's better than not being able to have the technology to do that, Kate. That's the important thing. I think about what this would have been like 20 years ago or 25 years ago when we didn't have this technology to be able to connect the way we do today. It would be even a sadder time for us as a family and other families.
Yeah, I also think about the people who have more limited access to internet connections, people who live more rurally.
Absolutely.
Or older folks who aren't as familiar with the technology. It's there's still a few barriers to work through, but yes, I agree. I too am very grateful that we have that capacity.
And no question that there are barriers when it comes to being able to, you know, connect virtually. And you bring up a good point with the seniors. Many of them may not have that ability. So it's so important for them to be connected with family through telephone phone calls, or people just pick up the phone and call somebody that you know may be in a care home or a seniors home. If you can, give them a call and just have that conversation. This can be a very fun time of year, Christmas, as we all know, but it can be a very sad time of year for many people as well. And I think the thing that concerns me, if you will, is after we're out of this pandemic, what's the impact on people after we come out of the pandemic?
Mm-hmm. Is that something you are spending some time thinking about at City Hall? Kind of the long term, how do we recover in an emotional, mental capacity?
Yeah. Well, we, you know, here at the city, we, you know, like, it is something that I think about. I wonder how people overall and people generally will come out of this pandemic, not just here in Prince George, but goodness, across the country, across the world. How do people deal with it after the fact? And from a health services perspective, I'm sure there will be assistance for people that are having very, very difficult times. So it's, it is something that I think we're going to all have to deal with when we're out of this.
And you mentioned that there are folks who are currently making use of outdoor space, who are walking, who are taking up new hobbies, who are finding ways to kind of fill their time and be home-based and still connected and productive in whatever way that manifests for them. So there is that, too.
Yeah, and that's a very positive thing of this. You learn new ways to, you know, maybe fill your time. So instead of sitting in front of the TV, you're out for a walk. You're out taking advantage of all of the amenities that we have from a recreational perspective. And, you know, sports is a big part of our community. And, of course, we were good for a while, shut down for a while, and then started up for a while. And now some of those sporting activities can't take place again for another month or so. And I think that people are just finding different ways to, enjoy their time off. And you can't travel out of the city. You can't travel to Hawaii. You can't travel to see anybody in Kamloops, Cache Creek, Vancouver. So you just try to fill your time. And I think people are becoming very ingenious as to how some people are looking at doing things differently for their recreational time.
So, Mayor Hall, I won't keep you much longer as we're coming up on the holiday season. I'm sure you have lots to do. Just one final question. If you had to make a recommendation for someone looking for a Christmas movie or a Christmas album, what would you say? What's your favorite kind of Christmas-themed media to consume?
So here's my favorite Christmas song, I'll Be Home for Christmas. My parents played that around our house continuously. And so it was a Bing Crosby song, and then it became a Michael Bublé song. And it has great significance for me because when I was away at university, I used to write back and forth to my folks, and I would always end it off by saying, I'll be home for Christmas.
Aww.
So it has a lot of sentiment to me. You know, movies, you know, the one that, it's funny, and I just watched it again the other night, not necessarily my favorite, but Home Alone, the first one.
A classic, yes.
Yeah, you know, it's, I don't know what it is about that movie, but Macaulay Culkin and Joe Pesci. I enjoy that. Those kinds of lighthearted movies I've always enjoyed. So, there's just a couple things that I do at Christmas. And I think we have Christmas music playing in the house from all eras. So, you know, 30, 40 years ago, right up to present day. And it's just interesting how everybody takes a different tact at the old songs, the old Christmas songs.
Mayor Hall, thanks.
Well, lots of traditions steeped in our family. So
yeah, that's nice. So happy holidays, happy belated birthday.
Yes, and thank you very much.
And thanks again for talking with me.
You're very welcome, and thank you for asking me. And Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope you enjoy the entire holiday season, and to everyone, it will be a brighter 2021.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.